Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Wonderland Ballroom. Yay! Tonight's guests include Rohan Mahadevone, Stand Up by Natalie McGill. I hope I said that shit right. Mark McGrath, Van Adam Friedland. Music from the Mean Season. Tonight's house band is Spaceman 311. I'm your announcer, Jamel Johnson. Now give it up for your host, whose favorite song is Fly by Sugar Ray, Brandon Weatherby!
Yeah, I just want to fly. Please stop playing. Please stop playing. Please stop playing. Thank you. Thank you. Spaceman 311, they came all the way from Auburn, the College of Auburn. Thank you so much for coming from Auburn College. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is being recorded the Friday after the Super Bowl, and I'm an American, so I watch the Super Bowl. I watch the hell out of the Super Bowl. I picked a team to root for, and they won, so I felt medium. It was great. The team that I don't really care about won the game. I rooted for them because they liked Edgar Allan Poe. The show The Following is not bad. I highly recommend it if you have on demand. If you're going to make a night out of it, I do not recommend it. Only watch it if you have on demand. Kevin Bacon, piercing blue eyes. Moving on, Super Bowl Sunday. Sunday Super Bowl. Oh, it was fantastic. They had commercials. Ladies and gentlemen, the best part of any Super Bowl, besides the brain trauma and the career-ending injuries, is the commercials. Oh, there were so many commercials. And one changed America. One commercial from that Super Bowl has over 8 million YouTube views. People like this commercial. This commercial is God Made a Farmer. Ladies and gentlemen, God did make a farmer. Thank you. Give it up for God and farming. It's great. That's right. Farm God. A lot of people don't know this, but God wanted a really hard-working man to tend the fields so other people can get really rich off of their labor. There's a whole movie based on that. It's called Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. That's a documentary about the farm industry. If you want to make money on the farm industry, you move to Philadelphia for some godforsaken reason and trade. You trade. Anyways, God made a farmer, and God did a great job. He wanted a hardworking guy, and he got a hardworking guy. He got such a hardworking guy that a car company decided, hey, we should pay people to make a commercial about farming, and then people will pay to watch that commercial about farming, even though that makes no sense whatsoever. So there's 8 million views of people. People chose to spend 2 minutes of their lives watching a commercial on demand. We live in a fun world. The year before, the most popular commercial was Clint Eastwood saying Gran Torino-esque racist shit about a different car. Cars are important, ladies and gentlemen. It's Halftime in America. Best part about the Halftime in America commercial, that's got 12 million views. The best part about that commercial is they mix a boxing metaphor with a football metaphor about nothing. It's fantastic. It's ambitious. And I want to just be able to one day do that. That's why I have a chair behind me. Oh, President Obama, you shut up, racist thing. Okay, moving on. The year before that, the best commercial was about Eminem. Eminem had a very important commercial, and it was about also cars. People love cars a lot. That commercial has sequels. Now, every single year, we get to see gospel choirs in Detroit singing the chorus of Lose Yourself, but they don't actually say the Mom Spaghetti part. Side note to Mom Spaghetti. Here we go. Eminem's most famous song is Lose Yourself from the documentary 8 Mile. Now, that's like an anthem, right? People are like, I'm going to get pumped up. I only got one shot. In the first verse, he talks about living at home with his mom. That's not a good song. Shouldn't the song be about, I'm going to move out. I have goals and ambition. Not like, fucking mom made me dinner and I got so sick I threw it up. What a bitch. No, stop that. That's not a good message. You know what's a better message? We Will Rock You by Queen, because that's about butt sex, and that's cool as shit. Give it up for butt sex, everybody.
Church.
Perfect. That's why Jamel's up here. He says one word. It's funnier than everything I have said. All right. So if this is what we love is a culture, if the only thing that sort of kind of seems authentic is a commercial about farming, a commercial that uses God for no... And the metaphors in this commercial make no fucking sense. I'm going to embrace it. So I wrote a commercial. It's called God Made a Talk Show Host. And because Jamel is a better voice than me, Jamel is going to read that commercial. And for the listener at home, Think of every Ken Burns documentary you've ever seen with like black and white, and it's just panning of the camera, and it's like kind of Civil War-esque. Like people died trying to do talk shows. So are you ready to read this? Because is it too small to read?
I got it right here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Don't put your hands together. We don't have time. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Jamel Johnson.
God made a talk show host commercial. Feel free to use black and white images here. Ken Burns effect, of course, in the crowd shots. All right. And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a break from reality. So God made a talk show host. God said, I need somebody willing to get up on stage, use a microphone, use words to express ideas. Ideas. Ask some questions. Mock death. Then go to introduce a band and stay past midnight drinking a post-show drink. So God made a talk show host. Then God had said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn comic and watch it die. Then dry his eyes and say, maybe try improv. I need somebody who can be original, stop being sexist, who can make laughs that don't involve your parents, feed jokes and sell drinks, who during an 8-minute set and desk interview will finish his night by plugging his next show and then walking from stage, tweet nice things for another 72 hours. So God made the talk show host. Oh, Lord. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to try this and laugh at conformity. I almost said confirmity. Yet be relatable to old men and young women and comedy nerds who will also say bad things because they think they can do better. It had to be somebody who plowed deep and straight and not cut corners. Like Lido's Pizza. Sorry, that was improv. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and break, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the callbacks, and strain the whiskey. Somebody who'd bail. I almost said Bane, I'm sorry. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what dad doesn't do. So God made a talk show host.
Jamel Johnson, everybody. Thank you, Jamel. That was good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't you bring up our first guest because I want to see you pronounce his last name again.
Dude, did I say it right?
No.
Fuck, how do you say it, man?
Well,
all right, hey, everybody, your first guest tonight is Rohan. Give it up for Rohan, everybody.
Yeah, play him on, Spaceman 311. Rohan, how are you?
Good.
Now, Rohan, how do we actually say your last name?
Mahadevan.
All right.
See, that's what I said the first time, and then you told me some other shit.
I didn't say anything about
that. Man.
Rohan, how are you?
Great.
Do you want to tell the people how we met?
We met at a BYT party.
We sure did. We're very cool people. Is that right?
Yeah.
We are very cool. Now, explain your dress to the listener at home.
My dress?
Yeah. How are you dressed tonight?
I have these like weird gray, not white, I don't know, jeans and this green shirt with a black stripe on it.
Yes. And your shoes.
Shoes that are hairy and brown and gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your glasses.
Oh, I have turquoise glasses.
So you're the definition of a hipster.
Sure.
Okay. Now, that's not a bad thing. You're also thin. Mm-hmm. You have a good haircut. You're attractive.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you write about music.
Yes.
Why do you do such a stupid thing? No, to be fair, I do the same stupid thing.
You know, I have nothing else that I could do.
There's nothing else you could... You have a day job.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about that because
no.
It's very boring.
Very boring.
Now, you do write about music and you write a daily thing for the DCist.
Mm-hmm.
What is your daily thing for the DCist?
I do a song of the day every day about local bands and then bands coming into town that are national.
Once again, why do you do this? Why is music important, Rohan?
I really, really like it. It's fun. I like listening to music.
Do you like the band Fun?
The new album has some jams on it.
What about the old album?
It has one good song on it.
So they have two albums.
Yes.
and they have a period at the end of their name.
Yes.
And it starts with a lowercase f.
Yes.
So in a way, they're like our generation's Korn, because Korn also had a unique spelling of their name.
Korn's still around.
Korn is still around. Now, would you like to spell Korn for the listener at home?
K-O-R-N.
No. It's K-O, lowercase, okay. / backwards R, lowercase N. That is how you spell Korn correctly, ladies and gentlemen. That's the AP... The R was uppercase. I apologize. The band Spaceman 311 knows, and I'm sorry, Spacehog 311 knows. They're correct. They're correct. There we go. We did it, guys. In the meantime, we're gonna get back to this interview. I want to slit my throat right now. How do you feel about that?
Cool.
That's not cool.
Can you apologize for bleeding on my shirt?
See, now why do you care so much? It's about the T-shirt. Like, how much was your T-shirt?
It's a Taking Back Sunday lyric.
Now, why do you like bad music?
You know, I stopped giving a fuck about it, you know, after all these years of like, oh, I'm just going to listen to My Bloody Valentine all the time and just be trite. That's bullshit, you know? You want to go home and just listen to fucking, like, Kesha. I mean, it's so much more fun.
So you're right. Saying that My Bloody Valentine is equally as good as Kesha.
Yeah, sure.
And Taking Back Sunday is probably better. And you are a music critic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Took long enough, drummer. Jesus Christ. Now, could we both agree that Taking Back Sunday did not age well?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, perfect. Now, could we both agree time and a place for everything?
Yes.
And there's never a time or a place if you're above 21 years of age for Taking Back Sunday.
Sure.
Okay, fair enough. We are back on the same page. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this is I think that there is a decent music scene here, but it's not a good music scene. Now, I think the reason that I am so biased is because I can only book certain types of bands for this show. For example, the Mean Season are very good. They're our band tonight. Now, they've played before, which means that there aren't as many bands as there should be because I had to ask the same band to come back. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, they're a great band. Now, who am I missing out on?
Who
are some local acts? Ugh.
These are things I really don't know.
What do you know? Isn't this...
Look, I know a little bit about local music. And
you should write about it every day, which I'm
assuming
Monday.
Yeah, mostly write about the national bands coming.
Oh, it's that bad, huh? So it is a bad scene.
It's a pretty boring scene.
Why is it so boring?
Everybody sounds the same. Everybody wants... They come to this town thinking, I want to be Fugazi, and then they end up not being Fugazi, and they sound like shit. Or you have, like, oh, we want to be dance pop, and, you know, we're going to get on All Things Go, because they're going to hype us, because we have, like, these Instagram covers that we're on SoundCloud. Fuck that shit, too. I mean, it's like, we change our name from the dance party to Brett. Great job. You know, you got some great sense in the back.
So you're more than willing to name names, is what you're saying.
Sure, I don't give a shit.
Okay, let's talk about more people you don't like.
That rah-rah Rasputin, man? I mean, come on.
No,
when there's a band called Rah-Rah Riot, just quit. Change your name. If you change your name, it might be
better. That's kind of fair.
If you're going to rip off Peter Hook, like that, like, okay, I get it. You like New Order, but is that what everything has to sound like?
I think our band, you might be our band's favorite guest of all time, because everyone else on this show is like, I love local music, but no, this is fucking great.
It's straight bullshit. I mean, like, sure, I'll write about it, but like...
Do you know Sean Gray?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
No.
Oh, no.
Damn.
Sean Gray is both a friend of the show and a real-life friend, and I think that you... No, he does not suck. He's a good man. And I think that you guys would really get along.
No, we never did.
Why don't you get along?
Long story.
We have 6 minutes. Go.
Oh, yeah, no, I met him once. He worked at my old college radio station.
You know him for that long?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, after me. He's like...
Okay.
But he was like a fucking old man. I don't know why the hell he's there.
How old are you, Rohan?
I'm 27.
Yeah, Sean and I are 30.
Yeah, but no, like, he was working at the radio station past college, and I'm like, the fuck are you doing there? But whatever.
Did he answer that? Well, maybe
no.
You shouldn't be so offensive with a man who likes music at the college radio station.
Whatever. I had no business being there either, so.
So you should be best friends.
No.
Why aren't you best friends? Who's your best friend?
My friend Alex, he lives in Chicago.
Oh, really? I'm from Chicago! What are you talking about? My voice went up. Okay, now, there's got to be somebody local that's good that I don't know about.
I like Foul Swoops.
I know
I like America Hearts.
They've been on the show, they're great.
Shit, I don't know.
That's it? There's two bands? That's it? Oh, you're great. Now, who are the national acts that you actually enjoy? Say the band the national.
Pavement.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You're 27.
It's my favorite band.
Your favorite band is Pavement.
Yeah. Fall Out Boy, back together.
See, Fall Out Boy makes sense because it's age appropriate for you. Now, Pavement isn't, neither is your style. You should be overweight and sad.
I'm getting there. I think the overweight part.
What's your BMI?
I don't know. I don't look at that shit.
Yeah, your glasses say pavement, but your hair says fall out boy, and usually hair is more
important. Oh, no, no. My hair is only like this because I've been wearing like a beanie all the time. So it's kind of like, whatever, push it back. I don't give a fuck.
What do you give a fuck about?
Food.
Ooh, let's talk about food.
Yeah.
Okay, where's some good places to eat?
There's a taqueria down the street.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's
You're
amazing.
You're like the fourth guest to recommend it. I should eat there.
Taqueria is great. I like pho viet.
What's that?
It's pho.
I know. I just said that. I just said that because I was taking a photo with my camera on my phone. Do you believe in the future of technology?
Yes.
It's exciting.
It is.
Now, do you also write for BYT?
Yes.
Brightish Young Things. What do you do for Brightish Young Things?
I help compile the gay best weekend bets.
Are you a gay?
Yes.
Okay, now, I am not a gay. Can I write for the Brightish Young Things best weekend bets? Gay
things? Probably not.
Isn't that kind of homophobic to not let a straight man write your gay best weekend bets?
Well, I mean, even if you did, no one would know because they took out the bylines on the new website.
Ah, so maybe I should do it.
Could.
Maybe it's just a bunch of straight Nazis writing your gay weekend best bets.
No, it's like three people.
Okay. And you know all of them.
Yeah.
There's not some cool Nazi guy with cool hair like yours.
Nah. I rarely do it either. I'm too lazy. And also, it's all a bunch
of
boring.
What are you passionate
shit.
About? Jesus Christ. The two things that you're on the show for, you said they're boring and all the music sucks.
No, not all music
Except
sucks.
Pavement. That new
great.
Band Pavement that yes. all the kids are talking about.
Don't
And Fall
oh,
Out
yeah.
Boy, who just reunited.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, Fall Out Boy will be doing a secret show, a special secret show in May at the 930 Club. It's not a secret show if it's announced in February that Fall Out Boy is playing a secret special show at the 930
and
Club.
And it's sold out.
Yes, it's sold
out. And I
had out.
Tickets.
Okay, are you bragging right now? I
yeah.
can't tell.
Yeah. Come at me, Craigslist.
How often do you say come at me, Craigslist?
First time. That's kind of awesome.
Now, when we first met, it was the Christmas party for Brightish Young Things, and we had a great time together. And I was like, I'm not going to drink. And then we drank a lot of beers together. And there was like an hour of absolutely wonderful conversation, and then a half an hour of you yelling at me and me yelling at you. you yelled at me that I don't know how to make Indian food properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told you to stop being so Indian, I think. Was I don't know. I think I'm lying to make this story better. But yeah, that was a fun time. I just wanted to tell people that we're cool and we're pretty cool people.
I'm actually not that Indian either, which kind of sucks. I wish I was
Wait,
more
say
Indian.
Say your name again.
Rohan Mahadevan.
Yep, that's a very
it's I you know,
very
but I don't
not Indian
I don't
name.
Get to talk like this or anything like that.
Well, I'm a horrible mutt that doesn't know my father. What is that supposed to just sound like? Just Tim Allen grunting at people?
Yeah. Tool time.
You just said tool time like, oh, I proved that I know who Tim Allen is. I'll show this motherfucker.
I'm the last man standing.
No one in this room knows that current sitcom.
What? Yeah. That's
Wait,
why no one
why
knows
is the
it.
Bartender know? I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry.
They're burying it.
Yeah, they're burying it.
Tool time is best gay weekend bets.
Sometimes.
Hold on. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Jamel, will you just say what Adam Freeland just said?
Tool time is best weekend, gay you know, best weekend bets.
There it is. And then that's why people laugh. It's funnier when Jamel says yeah, it or Adam Freeland.
It's funny when Freeland says it.
Okay, now, come on. Give me one. You haven't given me one thing. Give me one good thing about life. I don't even care about music anymore. Just give me one good thing about life. Why should people wake up tomorrow?
I don't know. The Grammys. The Grammys are on Sunday. Those are going to be fun.
Are they?
Yeah.
But like the band fun.
Well, the band fun are nominated. So
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed
no,
for fun. No.
No. I think that.
Well, give me one good band.
I think that Frank Ocean would probably take Album of the Year. Song of the Year, Carly Rae Jepsen. Record of the Year, Kelly Clarkson. At least give Kanye something.
Do you like Kanye?
Yeah.
I love Kanye.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Kanye's the most important musician in the last 10 years.
Think so?
I know so.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. You don't believe that.
Kanye West, gay, best gay weekend.
Come
best.
On, get it ah, right.
Fuck, fuck,
get
fuck,
it right.
Fucking gay best weekend, best,
no,
best weekend ever.
I'm pointing at you.
No.
Waiting for you to just fucking nail it
I'm
and you
so
can't
sorry.
Do it. God damn it.
I was supposed to go McEnroe, and I did.
Is giving you so many hits, and you're
I
just
did old McEnroe instead of. I tried to slam it. I'm sorry.
Oh God. Do you know who John McEnroe is?
No.
All right. Perfect. Will you take me to get Indian food in the suburbs?
Sure.
Not now, but in the future. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex, a truly awful book by Gregory Steig, PhD. I need you to pick a number between 39 and 42.
40.
40. If your partner completely lost his or her temper and started smashing dishes and furniture, what would you do? What would you do if the anger were directed at you and you were slapped, hit, or threatened? What would you do if either of those started happening every 6 months or so?
It'd be like that Jennifer Lopez movie, Enough. I'd leave.
Wait. You write 251 pieces of local and national music. You write gay best weekend bets. And your one call about a domestic violence question was a Jennifer Lopez movie.
Yes.
Well, that's perfect. Where can people read you?
DCist every day except for Saturday and Sunday. And then if, you know, the gay best weekend bets at some point in time.
But it's not really you.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's you.
Yeah, if you ever get a lot of concerts in there, it's me.
Okay, one quick recommendation. What's a good concert people should go to and don't say Fall Out Boy?
Sunday, Joy Orbison at U Street Music Hall.
That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Rohan. I'm not even going to try to say his last name. Coming to the stage is a comic that I thought performed on this talk show a year ago, but she didn't. She sent me an email saying, hey, could I ever perform on your talk show? And I said, I thought you performed on the show a year ago. She said, no. And then I said, I'm a dick. And I'm so sorry. You know, here's the problem with Natalie. She's coming up to perform. She's one of the rare comics in town. It's like her and Sarah Armour that are supportive of other comics in town. And that's very strange. So whenever I see her, I think like, oh, she must have just performed on the show. It's the only time I see comics. Coming to the stage is a very funny woman. Please put your hands together for Natalie McGill, everybody. Natalie, the stage is yours.
How's everyone doing? Great. So I'm coming to terms with the fact that I suck at board games, which is why I don't like that game Cranium, because it forces you to realize that you suck at a lot of different things in a really short amount of time. And if you've ever played that game before, it's like this weird hybrid of like Pictionary, Trivial Pursuit, and spelling challenges. And a lot of people like it because you get to do things like sculpt things out of clay or hum a song, get your friend to guess what song you're humming. But for people like me, I sit in silence after a game of Cranium thinking, all right, 10 people in this room just found out I can't spell the word jewelry. And every picture I draw with my eyes closed looks like a swastika. It's great. That's two things I wasn't ready to reveal about myself today. And people should never draw things with their eyes closed, because that stuff will never come out the way you intended. Like, you'll close your eyes to sketch something for 30 seconds, and 9 times out of 10, there will be a cock where a flower should have been. And then you gotta explain that to your friends. That was supposed to be a daisy. Well, it's a dick. At least it's not a swastika like the last time. It's like, fuck you, that was a quality pinwheel. I hate this game. So my roommate's... My roommate's boyfriend moved in with us about a year ago from India. And the cool thing about having a roommate from another country is that you get to entertain a bunch of questions about your culture that you normally wouldn't otherwise. So we were hanging out in our living room the other day, and he goes, hey, Natalie, what are Pop-Tarts? And I've clearly never gotten that question before. So instead of giving him the logical answer, which is like, oh, cheap, not filling pastry, you eat it for breakfast, my first instinct was just to go like, fuck Pop-Tarts, eat toaster strudels. What's wrong with you? And then that's when I realized, until he tries it for himself, I have the power to influence his opinion on all American-made products, a power I intend to abuse. Hey, Natalie, what are cornflakes? Sadness. Hey, Natalie, where did SpaghettiOs come from? Well, one day the wife of a Campbell's Soup employee was feeding her infants on spaghetti, and then he puked it up. Then Campbell's mass-produced that. He doesn't need to know that that's false. And when he tries it for the first time, it's going to make sense anyway. So I think Cheetos has finally figured out that they're contributing to the American obesity epidemic, because I had a bag of Cheetos in my apartment recently, and this is what it said in huge, bold letters on the back of the bag. What's a serving? For Cheetos Cheddar Jalapeno Crunchy Snacks, 21 is the right amount for jalapeno hopping fun. Which was basically their way of saying, hey, fatty, you want to save some for later? Because you have 5 episodes of Storage Wars Texas Edition waiting for you in your DVR. Your lonely ass might want to conserve a few. I just want to know how they got to the number 21. Was it this arbitrary number that they came up with just to get some type of handle on the sadness that pervades the lives of people who eat Cheetos every day? Just imagine, like, this VP of marketing for Cheetos is meeting with his employees. We realize that obesity is a growing problem in this country, and Cheetos has probably had something to do with it. So what we did is we went out, we polled 1,000 Americans, and we asked them what they thought an appropriate serving size for Cheetos is. Now I'm going to pull a couple of responses to read to you at random, just so we can get a good cross-section of what America's thinking. Let's see, we've got Kathy is a 46-year-old woman from Flint, Michigan, and she wrote, I will not stop eating them until my ex-husband comes back. Only this bag of Cheetos knows I'm not the sinning whore he says I am. God, we really need to screen these before we read them, guys. So speaking of food, I have weird hang-ups about eating food in front of my roommates. And just to give you some background information, I'm like a plate/bowl licker. I like to lick the plate when I'm done eating food. And I live with twins, and for some reason, I feel self-conscious about licking plates and bowls in front of one twin as opposed to the other, which is creating problems for me in my apartment. So the twin that I haven't known as long made this, like, really, like, delicious, like, vegetable dish with this red sauce, and I, like, housed through all the vegetables, and I only have the sauce left, and I'm staring at her, and she's staring at me. And I get weirdly self-conscious about it, so I did the only thing that I thought was logical to do at the time, which was to take the bowl with me into the bathroom and then shut the door and then lick it there. In like 5 seconds after doing that, I was like, oh, this is worse, isn't it? It's like 10 times worse. Can't even talk my way out of that. Just like a messy eater in general. For example, in my apartment, I keep a collection of eating shirts. And eating shirts are shirts that I wear when I'm eating certain types of food, like pomegranates or spaghetti. It's not really an adult bib. That's kind of an insult to bibs, if you think about it. Because bibs are only supposed to come up to here, right? Like to your chest. You know, you wear a shirt, you're sending a message to everyone that everything from, like, here to about here is just fucked in terms of, like, crumbs, sauce stains, human tears. It's just one really big fail smock. Just feel like I'm only, like, 4 degrees away from being featured on one of those one-hour-long TLC specials about people with weird socialization problems. Like, you're going to turn on the TV, like, 10 years from now, and it's just going to be me in a basement going, this is my burrito shirt. I'd like to say it's staying green because of the guacamole. We eat so much, honestly, don't even know anymore. All right, my name's Natalie McGill. That's my time. Thanks.
Natalie McGill, everybody. Take a seat, Natalie. Good job. For the listener at home, Natalie has a job and is not fat.
Oh, yes.
Okay. If anything, you're underweight.
Yes. Extremely underweight.
You did a good chunk about being fat there, though. Nailed it. The adult bib is a funny line. You have two different Twitter accounts.
I do.
Why is that?
All right. Well, when I first started, so my first Twitter account was the @LittleNightOwl account, and that was to talk about, I guess fat tweets like that, or kind of like fat jokes like that, but also disparaging things about my former job. So that was like.
So you were in like a mean girl, like a slam journal Twitter account.
Right. And then after a
did
while.
Did you ever say the name of the job in the tweets?
No, never.
Okay,
no, never.
Okay. But you're a journalist.
Yes, but I am a journalist.
So anybody that has any idea who is behind this Twitter account would easily know who you're talking about.
Not really. I tried to be secretive about it, but there were like really mean things. So that's why I was like, I need to put this on private. So.
And now you have a new job.
Now I have a new job.
But you have a separate Twitter account.
Yes.
That's like wonky and...
Yeah, it's just mostly my stories and retweets of my colleagues' stories and stuff like that.
What's your job?
I am a writer for the American Public Health Association. So I am a reporter for their monthly newspaper, The Nation's Health.
Do they know that you do this?
Yes, they do. They've actually come and see me perform.
What do they say? Because your stuff isn't, you're not like saying horribly racist things.
No,
you're
no.
not saying horribly sexist things.
No. They really like it. They actually came out to see me in Silver Spring like a couple of weeks ago.
So
and
nice.
They were like, yeah, it's really awesome. And so, no, they're really super supportive of it and they want to know when I'm doing stuff. So
do any of your coworkers send you tweets about, or sorry, send you texts about 9/11 while you're trying to do stand up? Because I get them like every other minute during this show that no one else knows about.
No,
and that's why I always take my glasses on and off so I can't see my phone.
That hasn't happened, and that would throw me way off track. So no,
keeps you prepared, and it doesn't help at all, and it's really derailing this interview and my entire life. In fact, I've had to delete a lot of things because of my current job. Back on track. Are you performing at the Hamilton anytime soon?
I am, actually. I'm going to be in the Commedia del Media competition on February 28th.
Which is a Thursday.
Yes.
You're probably going to win.
I don't know. There's a lot of good comics. There are a lot of good comics on the bill. So
I'm hosting that.
Oh, you are?
I'm going to say nice things about you.
Yay. So go.
That might completely backfire once they know about all my 9/11 thoughts. So, you're a very funny woman. You're a very nice woman. And you're going to be at that show on Thursday. Do you want people to follow you on Twitter? Anything else to plug?
Yeah, you can follow me at Little Night Owl. And
it's all spelled correctly. Night is spelled night.
Yes.
Little is spelled little.
There are no misspellings. And I also have a blog, and that's hoothollerscribble.com.
I didn't even know you had a blog. I feel so sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm
fine.
I'm sorry that I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have a blog, and I also blog for Laugh Your Grits Off, too. I do a series about horrible social media marketing campaigns for alcohol. So
perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the very funny Natalie McGill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spacehog 311. Coming to the stage is a new friend of ours. I'm just going to bring him to the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Leif Birdsong, everybody. Leif Birdsong, come to the stage.
Everybody! Everybody! Listen up! Leif Birdsong here. How's it going, everybody? Now, I'm really happy to see you all here in the room today. You guys all look like changers. We're going to make a change together. All right. All right. Let's make a change. You guys ready to make a change? I'm going to make a change right now. For someone like me, a person who cares about things and issues, it's often difficult to engage those who don't see the problems in society that ail our planet, okay? Sometimes I wake up and go up to strangers on the street and shake them and say, "Wake up, everybody! Look around you! There are bad things happening and sad things happening." Don't you realize you got the power to make a change? like the environment. We all wish we could help it, but we're too busy updating our Facebook sites and watching vampire stuff. Now, you may say to yourself, but I don't live in the jungles. I couldn't possibly save the animals that do live in the jungles. Did you know that according to Wikipedia, which is a website, over 75% of the surface of the planet Earth is covered in oceans? And if I were to ask you all here today, what percentage of conservation, NGOs, nonprofits are devoted to saving the ocean, you'd probably say, what, 75%? But the percent is way less than that. You might say, respond by saying, hey, that's obvious. Who cares about the ocean? You can't even drink it. It's way too much salt. And it's very dirty. But take it from me, the ocean's very important. The ocean is home to some of the most important ecosystems in the universe. One of the biggest problems facing the overall healthfulness of the ocean is pollution. Who of us hasn't disposed of biomedical waste products in the ocean while on vacation with our bubbies in Oahu? We are human beings, after all, right? But what can we do about this? The ocean is very big, and as my data has proven, and how can we make a change, right? Make a change. That's what we're here to do, make change. Here's another science fact. Hold on to your dicks. The adult humpback whale eats over 3 tons of krills every day. Okay, sorry for all the science jargons. Krills are little sort of microscopic shrimp things that, and tons are 2,000 pounds. Now, you might say, but if they're really little shrimp things, then surely it's not as much as if they were eating 3 tons of slightly larger shrimps or slightly larger fish or other marine life. But that's like saying 3 tons of bricks is heavier than 3 tons of feathers. It's a brain twister, okay? They weigh the same. Get with it, people, okay? They're both 3 tons. What these humpback whales don't even think about while they're gorging themselves full of the krills is what happens to the krills when they're done eating. Okay? Trust me, it's not like Jonah and the whale, which happens to be a story in the Bible that is made up by God to make kids into sheep that don't think for themselves. In fact, whales are mammals like you and me. Beings who share a common trait. We all poop out stuff. Now, you're smart people. You probably know where I'm going with this. Mammals, 3 tons of krills. Whales take huge shits. How big are these dumps? Enormous. There's quite a debate in the scientific community, but we can agree that they're probably 3 tons of dumps. So I'm here to talk to you guys today about how we can make a change. And how are we going to make this change? Diapers for whales. Yeah. Diapers for whales. You can go on my Kickstarter, and you can donate money. We're going to get diapers for whales. And then they can't take three-ton shits. Because it's polluting the ocean. I think it's a good idea. And the rainforest, don't even get me started. It rains all the time, okay? How are you supposed to go outside when it's raining all the time? Have you been to Seattle, okay? Nirvana, okay? umbrellas for the rainforest.
Do you want to sit down?
Diapers for whales. Yeah.
Leaf Birdsong, everybody. Thanks for... That was a good TED Talk. Thank you, Leaf.
Thank you. I got to admit to you guys, my name isn't Leaf Birdsong.
What's your real name?
That's a name I gave myself when I was in college. My real name is Denzel Cohen.
Are you related to... Why is that funny?
I don't know why they're laughing. I mean, that's not the name that I choose to give myself.
Are you related to Leonard Cohen?
No. Okay. But I am related...
Coen Brothers?
To the Coen Brothers.
Coen Brothers. How are you related to the Coen Brothers?
I'm their mother.
So you're the mother of Academy Award filmmakers, Academy Award winning filmmakers Joel and Ethan Coen.
They came out of my pussy.
Just kind of like how all that whale stuff is leaving the whales. Like, you just want to get a diaper on that.
You know, I just get so sad sometimes.
What voice is this?
I just get so sad sometimes.
At some point, it's young Tom Brokaw.
He's switching up voices here.
No one wants to make a change with me. And that's what we're going to do together. All of us.
All right, really quick, Denzel.
We
have to move the show along. On the stage right now, they were one of my favorite bands that played the show in 2012. And I'm very glad that they're back. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the extremely talented The Mean Season.
Why would you want it? Why would you want it to end? Oh, 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 oh,
oh,
Lost inside loss is the turn of the tide. Only in you I confide. I will confide. Lost inside loss is the turn of the tide. Only in you I confide. I will confide. When all that still glitters ain't gold, I want to believe you, I want to leave you. I want to believe you. When all that still glitters ain't gold, I want to believe you, I want to leave you. I want to believe you. If you still use light to see, if you still use light to see, you'll never find me. You'll never find me. If you still use light to see. You've got the smiling glance. All of my days are a trance. What used to be dreams. Nothing's as it seems. When all the sugar glitters in gold, I want to believe you, I want to believe that nothing's as it seems. Don't call anyone back. This stupid debt you are left wanting forever, left wanting forever, left wanting forever, left wanting forever, left
time for the Mean Season, everybody. Hey, the show's over. On behalf of Leif Birdsong, aka Denzel Cohen, myself and Rohan Mahadevan, fucking Rohan. On behalf of that dude, thanks for coming out. It's a great show, great crowd. Thank you guys. Oh, Spaceman 311 also was here as well. Ron, I'm so sorry, because people call me Jamal all the time, and it make me mad, so I'm sorry.
I don't care.
But I do, brother. All right, we're done.